What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Dress Down. You'd never believe it, but we do have a very special guest for you today. You may know her from her cosplays, her iconic hair, as Shiny's biggest fan, or as our third ever cosplay guest, Morgan LaFoy.
What's up, gamers?
Welcome back.
Happy to be here.
Excited to have you. I feel like I have a little bit more experience under my belt, being that our first episode was a year ago, which sounds crazy.
It does sound crazy.
And it's true. It's wow. Pretty wild.
A whole year.
Yeah. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Welcome back to LA. I picked you up from LAX at 10:30 a.m. this morning. How does it feel to be picked up from LAX instead of Ubering?
It feels awesome. I feel...
Do you feel like a celebrity?
Weighted and... weightless and elated. Even, I feel extremely loved and valued. Yeah.
Yeah?
It was great.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
It is a pure act of love.
It
like,
is.
People in LA do not pick each other up from the airport.
I usually don't even ask. If it wasn't with Witchy and I's powers combined... I would simply not have asked.
I was going to get you anyway. Okay. I don't mind once in a while. There was a point where you were coming.
Like every month.
Every month.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also if you needed to, obviously I would always pick you up.
Appreciate that.
The problem is that I have all that driving anxiety on the highway.
Also the problem is that getting to LAX is a nightmare.
Yeah.
100% of the time.
Yeah.
It's better, like, when I'm taking the red eye, you know, and mm-hmm. we can plan to be in the vicinity,
mm-hmm.
do activities during the day, and then drop me off.
Mm-hmm.
But the pickup is rough.
Yeah. Well, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Happy to be.
I'm going to start off strong.
Okay.
With a K-pop question.
Hit me.
To start, condolences on the loss of more members from Super M. That wasn't very jopping of them.
It wasn't very jopping of them at all. This is my 9/11. This is like three 9/11s for the K-pop community. Like,
okay, so can you explain that to people who don't know anything about K-pop, aka me? Although I do feel like I've absorbed this information through osmosis.
I would love to, Danielle. Okay, so first of all, we have to start with there's a company called SM Entertainment, and they produce a lot of your favorite K-pop acts, such as SHINee, such as Girls' Generation, Super Junior, NCT, EXO, BoA, if you remember BoA, I do. And they had a super group called Super M. And their CEO, Lee Soo-man, is like obsessed with himself. So that's why the company's called SM. It stands for Soo-man. But like all of them are like that too. Like YG, his name is YG.
Oh.
JYP, his name is JYP.
I was gonna say, I know JYP.
Yeah. HYBE, I don't know who runs HYBE, but that's probably not that guy's name. Anyway.
He's got four names and it's one letter.
Right. Maybe. Lee Soo-man was assembling the Avengers of K-pop before the pandemic hit. And in 2019, he debuted Super M, which had a member of SHINee, a couple members from EXO, and members from NCT,
mm-hmm.
and also WAVY, which is like their Chinese group. And it was amazing. It was a wild time to be alive. They came out with the best song of all time, Jopping, which consists of jumping and popping. If you don't know what jopping is, when you jump and pop at the same time, because when we're jumping and popping, we jopping. And that song changed my life and everyone else's life too. Even if you don't know it, changed your life.
I feel like it's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the day now that it's been mentioned.
I just love that song so much. But yeah, slowly over time, like the project got shelved because of the pandemic, which was heartbreaking. So we really lost Super M a long time ago.
Okay.
But with all the members leaving and canceling their contracts, it ruined the notion that there would ever maybe be a reunion.
Mm.
So yeah, that's very sad, but it's something that happens, you know.
Yeah.
At least we have SHINee.
At least we have SHINee.
At least we have SHINee.
Which is your ultimate K-pop group.
Yes.
How long have you been listening to SHINee?
I've been listening to SHINee since 2011. So wow. A while.
And they would be considered what generation of K-pop? Because I have been understanding more and more about this, and there are generations.
There
guys.
Are. They're considered Gen 2.
Okay.
Yeah, solidly Gen 2.
And Gen 3 then would be like the newer groups?
Gen 3, I think, is like, I think EXO was maybe considered Gen 3. I think now they're considered Gen 2. It's one of those things where as time goes along, like, they redial in the parameters of what is considered a generation. Just like when millennials first came out, I don't think we were technically in the millennial bracket. And then a couple years later, they solidified the millennial bracket and we were solidly millennials.
Gotcha.
And then Gen Z started. So anyway, EXO would be Gen 2, 3. NCT would definitely be Gen 3. And then all the newer groups like RISE and the new groups that I know, because I listen to the new groups. TXT and all those groups are like even considered some Gen 4 now. Mm-hmm. People are saying Gen 5, and I think that's crazy. I think it's too early to say Gen 5.
Okay.
But yeah.
So if somebody had never listened to SHINee before, how would you pitch the group to them? To get them to want to listen?
I would start off by telling them that SHINee is one of the most solidly talented all-arounder groups there has ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really debated, to be honest. I mean, I am extremely biased, but I think they are one of the top percentile as far as talent, where entertainers, dancers, and singers go. Rap. They're a little weak on the rap, but you know, that's fine. Like one of their members is operatically trained for Onyu, the leader of SHINee. He did a solo stage for one of the SHINee World concerts where he just sang this like opera song and it blew the roof off the place. It was insane. And Jonghyun was just one of the most amazing vocalists in K-pop. He also was a composer and a writer. He wrote several books. And he composed songs for SHINee and artists like IU and other popular Korean singers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think SHINee, their sound is like very pure pop. They can be a little experimental. Like sometimes the first time I hear a new SHINee single, I'm like, and then it grows on me. But they're like the princes of K-pop. I would say they definitely stayed very Korean over the years as opposed to appealing to an international global audience. And I enjoy that because I started getting into K-pop like because it sounded different from what I had heard in the States. And I would probably show them Lucifer first if I was going to show a SHINee video to someone. Yeah.
How come?
Because Lucifer was such a cultural reset in K-pop. I think it was one of those things where you look at it now and with all of the crazy choreography we have, it doesn't look that impressive. But in 2009 or 10, whenever it came out, it was groundbreaking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's one of the best K-pop choreos of all time. And SHINee is really known for their synchronization. So I think it's just a really impressive and catchy song.
Yeah. And Minho is your bias. I know that's
my
because
bias.
I know you. Which
that's my man.
I get it after watching the
Run for the Money.
Yes. I was trying to remember what it was called. The like run around town and not get like the most incredible game of tag I've ever seen.
He's so competitive and athletic. His nickname is the Flaming Charisma because he is just so charismatic and like genuinely himself all the time.
Yeah. He was very sweet and also competitive. I get the hype for sure. But also, why don't we have nicknames like that for ourselves?
I don't know. I wish
the
we did.
The Flaming Charisma is amazing. It's like, you know, the titles over your WoW character. I would like something like that.
It used to be like that in all K-pop groups. Well, a lot of K-pop groups. They would have like titles and roles, like almost like role play that they were assigned.
I do know that because of Cat's Eye, which I know I'm wearing a Cat's Eye hat today,
nice.
But it is Amanda's and it is black and it matched my outfit, so I'm kind of a poser. But I did watch the Dream Academy stuff.
I didn't watch Dream Academy on purpose.
I didn't either.
I didn't want to see anything that would make me not like Cat's Eye.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to be like, oh, I didn't like the way she acted or like something. I wanted mm-hmm. to enjoy the music and not be like tainted.
Yeah.
But yeah, mm-hmm. they have like main dancer, main singer, main rapper. And Shiny all had nicknames like that. I'm trying to remember. I just know Jonghyun's was Bling Bling is Jonghyun because he awesome. Wore a lot of jewelry and like had a specific style. And then Minho's Flaming Charisma. I think Taemin had something to do with dance, the dance monster, dance machine or something. I don't remember. And then Onyu's the leader and Ki is like the fashionista. Ki styled a lot of their performances and looks for videos. Like, wow. He got very into fashion. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sold. See? You're good.
I could talk about K-pop this for a long time.
Sales pitch. Do you have your favorite? Do you have a favorite Shiny era? And can you describe the eras in one word?
Yes. I think my favorite Shiny era was Dream Girl, which Dream Girl came out in 2013. And I think that was for me when I really became a Shawol, as opposed to like, I had another group that I liked before Shiny. Their name was MBLAQ. And I went into watching the Dream Girl debut as NA+, I think was the MBLAQ fandom name. And I came out of that video a Shawol. So that's very meaningful to me. And that was their best album, I think. They released an album called Misconceptions of You, and then a repackage called Misconceptions of Me.
Mm.
And then the joint package was Misconceptions of Us.
Oh.
And it had a lot of songs that the members wrote and like helped compose on it. And they had two different singles from that era. It was just really fun. Like, mm-hmm. Shiny was doing so much that year that it's like every day I would wake up and be like, what's Shiny doing today? You know? Mm-hmm. And I think as a person in my young 20s, like trying to find my way, K-pop was so good for me because I always had something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Reasons to live.
Yeah.
You know? Gotta have them.
Yep. Totally.
Gotta have them.
At least one.
Yeah.
It's funny now that I know a little bit more about it, looking back on things that I mean, even the podcast with Johnny when I did it, I said so many things that looked like that were hilarious looking back on it. Like, I was reading the notes and I obviously have people help me with the research, and they asked they put stuff on here about K-pop, and I was pronouncing things wrong. And I called La Lisa LA Lisa, which Johnny will never let
me live down,
I don't think, ever. But I remember I was in Australia for PAX Melbourne, I want to say, and I was walking around the convention looking for gifts for everybody, and I was trying to find
something
for everyone. And I was like, oh, that stand has K-pop fan art or something. And I was texting Hannah, mm-hmm. and I was like, Hannah, what do I, like, this is something Morgan likes. Morgan likes the K-pop. How do I get the gift for Morgan? And Hannah was like, well, I think maybe Stray Kids and maybe this other thing. And I was like, it was as if I was using Google Translate in a different country, where I was like talking to the girl who was also trying to make sales with other people and being like, do you have Shiny stuff?
You got any Shiner?
The girl, Shiny stuff. And the girl's like, no, I have this band or this group. And it's like when someone's talking about WOW in front of you, or like something in front of you have no idea about. And I'm like, like going back to the phone, and Hannah is like trying to help me. And then I was like, stray kids. And the girl's like, stray kids. What's her bias? And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? And I'm like, Hannah, what's a bias? So now I'm like laughing about it because I could have given those to Amanda.
Amanda, I think you got me Felix.
Probably. I have no idea.
It was cute though. I was like, oh, she tried to get me the thing I like.
Yeah. It's like a small child being like, this macaroni art, do you like it? Yeah. But now I look back on that and I'm like, aw.
Aw.
So speaking of shiny, have you been playing the new Pokemon game?
I have not. I don't have a Switch 2. Yeah, I want one, but I haven't gotten one yet. So, no.
Do you have a favorite shiny Pokemon? That's my segue.
Ooh, shiny Pokemon. I really like Totodile shiny, and Totodile is my favorite starter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to go with Totodile.
Totodile.
The first shiny I ever got, though, to my knowledge, was a shiny Eevee.
Mm,
it was really cute. Funny because Jordan and I had first started dating and he was trying to get a shiny Eevee so bad. And I was like, I know, I'll try and get one for you. So I was breeding at full odds, just me and my Slugma against the world. For a shiny Eevee, and he was like, you're not gonna get it. That's like 1 in 4,000. And I got it in like 500 eggs, and I gave it to him. And he was pissed because he was like, the fun was hunting for the shiny. But I was like, but I got it for you.
But I got it for you.
And he was like, I can't believe you got it in 500. I was like, well,
all it takes lucky is for girl. One man to say that you can't do something to make it happen. The stars will align. We will figure it out. Good. Good. I'm glad. Speaking of starters and Totodile being your favorite, you were quoted as saying that you're over firefighting type Pokemon starters, especially after Litten's evolution became Dwayne the Cat Johnson. Do you still feel that way?
I do feel that way. And we don't know the fate of the new cat, right?
No, I don't think
so. The new fire starter.
I think it's
a dog.
It's a Pomeranian. Yeah.
That thing better stay on all fours or so help me God. Or so help me God. No more bipedal starter fire abominations against God.
I agree. It's like there's so many other ways to go besides firefighting. Why is it always firefighting?
I know. I don't know. Something about, I guess, fire is aggressive. Fire signs, maybe.
True.
I don't know.
True. What would you like to see the Pomeranian as if you could will it into existence?
I want it to evolve into, like, a cool and sexy poodle of some kind. Mm. Like, you know, like, how can you make a Pomeranian bigger? It's like it doesn't really get bigger. That's the whole point of a Pomeranian.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it could evolve into like a really stylish large breed dog.
Mm.
I would enjoy that.
There is like a Houndoom situation.
I love Houndoom.
You could do like dark.
Yeah.
Fire dark, maybe.
Houndoom is one of my faves.
Sense. I think Houndoom is dark.
Yeah, I think
he is. Don't clock me if I'm wrong. Yeah, that would rock, I think.
Yeah.
I love his stupid little curly hair, though, the little Pomeranian.
So cute.
So, do you still play League of Legends?
All the time.
All the time?
Almost every day.
Almost every day. Is it Teamfight Tactics, or is it League of Legends, or is it both?
It depends on what I'm feeling. I was in, like, a real TFT zone for about 3 or 4 months because the set that's out right now I really liked. I love Demacia and they brought back Demacia and I just want to have a Sona that slaps. Like, that's what I want. I love Sona. And then I started doing ARAM Mayhems. I started playing with my friends and then I realized if I solo queued I would get matched evenly with people who suck as bad as me.
Right.
And so it would be fun because I could actually hit my power spike and I could actually like feel good at the game. So now my friends will see me online. They're like, hey, you want to join our game? And I'm like, nope.
Nope. I'm a solo
queen. I'll get in the Discord, but I ain't playing with you guys.
If you're a fan of Demacia, is that where you hope that they go in Arcane next for the next season?
That would be super cool. I feel like they've set it up for Noxus.
Yeah, I think so too.
But that would be neat. Isn't like Noxus and Demacia like really like rival in the lore?
I think so.
So maybe we'll get some Demacia like on the side.
Yeah. I also, if I could choose anywhere for Arcane to take place next, it would be Demacia.
Yeah.
There's like a Garen Lux, like.
Yes.
Love for the like anyone who grew up with the game. Yeah. I feel like the spin to win Garen and Lux's alt scream is like very iconic to the game.
I also love J4. That's my husband in WoW.
Yeah, I get that.
Find me greater foes.
I get that. I've never heard him called that before.
J4?
Yeah.
He's Jarvan the Fourth.
Jarvan. I know, yeah. But I, for some reason, have never clocked the number at the end of his name. It took, like, my wheel was spinning for a second.
And, like, so-and-so killed his dad. Like, I don't remember what, like, because if you get matched in a match with the character, like, the champ that canonically killed his father, the king. Mm. He like talks shit to them. And he'll be like, "Ha, I killed your dad," or something. Like,
fuck.
Yeah. I forget who it is though.
I forget who it is too.
I think it's
Renekton. Feels right to me for some reason.
I also love Renekton.
Yeah, me
Nasty
too.
Nasty Gator Man.
Speaking of, I have a couple of fuck, marry, kills for you.
Okay.
From League of Legends. And I'll start with Renekton, Nautilus, and Rengar.
Oh. Okay. Kill Nautilus.
Okay.
Fuck Rengar. Marry Renekton.
Renekton?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I get that.
Miscaly.
I feel like a lot of people like Nautilus because he's very Big Daddy coded from BioShock.
Yeah.
And they like the get over here pull, you know what I mean? Vi, Evelynn, and Katarina.
Oh. Okay. The Arcane sex music just started playing in my head. Okay. We're killing Evelynn.
Okay.
We're fucking Vi.
Okay.
And we're marrying Katarina.
That, I think, is the correct choice for sure. I think Vi and Evelynn could go either way for me, but I'm on board.
Yeah, I feel like because of the lore, like, I was a Caitlyn Vi, like, shipper before Arcane was even, like...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when I first started going to cons, the first and maybe only fan art I ever commissioned was Vi and Kate fan art from a random booth at a convention.
No way, really?
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Is that because it's in the lore? I know that they know each other in the lore. And Caitlyn's obviously trying to...
I think they hinted at it being gay. Like, they didn't deny it, you know? So everyone was like, oh my God, they're gay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, next.
What you got there? You got a sticker on your coffee?
I do have a sticker on my coffee. For anyone watching and curious, something terrible, horrific, heinous happened to me.
Danielle's 9/11, some might say.
When I was streaming from my new place in California, I think for the first time.
Was it the first
ever?
Time?
Maybe. I think so. Because the walls were bare. It might have been on my phone. Like, it was very, bare bones, I remember. And Morgan was with us and we were streaming together, and I walked into my office with a coffee cup that was a hot coffee cup.
Much like this one.
Much like this one. And I drank a big gulp of coffee, and then I felt something touch my tongue that was too solid to be with the rest of the liquid, and I immediately just spit it out all over the room. And it was caught on camera, which I am very grateful for, because any type of terrible thing that happens to me, I would prefer that it's caught on camera so that we could all laugh about it, so that it feels a little less terrible after a certain amount of time. But that thing that was in the cup was unfortunately a fly.
It was a big one, too.
And it was big.
It was fat.
And it was terrible. And I think about it all the time. So now I have to put something over the mouth hole at all times, because that is truly one of my greatest fears that did come true.
I feel like it couldn't happen to you twice. Like, you're safe now by the numbers.
No, I'm not taking that risk. I'm simply not taking that risk. Okay, Ari, Riven, or MF?
Okay. All right. Fuck Ari. Kill Riven. Marry MF.
Based on vibes?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Ari and MF are really hard to pit against each other because I love both of them. Mm-hmm. Cosplayed both of them several times. But I just love MF. She was my first champion.
Yeah, so. I feel the same way. Yeah. There's a special thing mm-hmm. about her. Varys, Viego, and Victor. Ooh. The Vs.
We're marrying Varys off the bat.
Okay.
He's gay, but maybe he could learn to like and we're fucking Victor. Mm. And we're killing
Viego.
Viego, yeah.
I picked three similar looking men.
Yeah.
Caitlyn, Sona, and Elise.
Oh. Okay. Unfortunately, God, this is rough. I really want to fuck Elise. I feel like that would be crazy.
The spider lady.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah, I bet.
But I love Caitlyn too. But I don't love her as much as Sona.
Right.
So we have to kill Caitlyn. She's a cop. We're going to kill her. And so we kill Caitlyn, ACAB style. And we...
Sorry, girl.
Fuck Elise and we marry Sona.
Okay. I love that choice. And finally, Zyra, Vayne, and Morgana.
Zyra, Vayne, Morgana. Okay, we're marrying Morgana. Love Morgana.
Yeah.
We're fucking Zyra.
Yeah.
I want to see what them plants do. And killing
vines and shit.
Yeah.
Similar, some might say, to tentacles.
Yeah.
Similar enough. Yeah, I feel like I agree with most of what you said, if not all. I am realizing now that I made mostly women on this list.
Well, what a shame.
What a shame.
What a shame.
What does that say about me? Who knows? So you've also been quoted as saying that you would prefer to go to a shitty dive bar for karaoke night versus renting a karaoke room.
Yeah.
Explain.
So I've warmed up to the karaoke room. Because the fun of the karaoke room is that my friends who otherwise will never sing will sing in a karaoke room. And that's really
fun.
That's
me that she's talking about.
Yeah, I love when my friends get silly and bold in the karaoke room. Mm-hmm. But what I like about a dive bar is that there's people to admire me. And I want to sing my song and I want people to admire me. I want everyone to be like, wow, that song was so good. That girl sang that song so good. That's so crazy. And that's my desire.
Right. To be admired.
Yeah.
To be respected.
Mm-hmm. To be respected.
Yeah. To hear the claps.
Exactly.
To hear the woos from the crowd. What is it about dive bars in general that you like? Because you do be dragging me to a lot of dive bars.
I do. I'm so glad you asked. I've actually been polishing up my reasons for liking dive bars. And I believe it's my new, like, theory that dive bars are one of the last community spaces we have in late-stage capitalism. They're one of the last third spaces. And I know they don't technically count because third spaces are not supposed to be, like, associated with alcohol or money. But we take what we can get, right?
True.
So I like dive bars because when you go in there, you're kind of equalized. Like, everyone is sort of on the same playing field. Like, you're all there to have a good time with your friends. And there's, like, unspoken rules of dive bars, which is, like, no politics, no, like, being a weird pretentious dick. Like, everyone's there to have fun and to be among other people. So there's sort of a welcoming vibe that I like. Also, typically there's, like, an older crowd, and it's like you just interact with people that you never would otherwise. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important in life. And yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
Different perspectives.
Yeah.
Like traveling, but
yeah, but
in your backyard and drunk with shitty beer.
Yeah.
And what's your go-to dive bar drink?
Oh, Tito's soda with lime.
Because it's the same everywhere.
It's not the same everywhere. Not all soda machines are created equal. If they don't have their CO2 like dialed in properly, if you have a flat soda, that's like the worst. So if I go somewhere and my first drink is flat, I'll order Tito's cranberry next.
Gotcha.
That's pretty solid.
I do think that dive bars are pretty fun after going with you and your dad. Who I also love very much.
I love my dad too.
What is your go-to karaoke song, and what makes a perfect karaoke song?
Ooh. I would say I have a couple of go-tos, and they change over the years because I retire them when I feel like everyone's heard them too much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I used to be Jolene. Like, that was my first one. And then Dreams by Fleetwood Mac.
My personal fave.
Your favorite. So I still like it, and I still sing it. Magic Man by Heart is one of my favorite ones to sing. And Even Flow by Pearl Jam.
Fuck yeah.
Everyone hates it, and I love it.
I think I love it as well. I feel like there's a perfect line to walk between a bit when it comes to karaoke,
yes,
and taking it too far. And I feel like while that's not fully in bit territory, it does like lean on funnier, yeah, than like just singing a song, you know?
I think there's a couple ways you can go with karaoke songs. Like, you can either go like, I'm going to sing this song and I'm going to knock it out of the park and it's going to be an amazing rendition of this song.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be like confident that you're going to sing it well.
Yeah.
And then you can do a bit, which if you play the bit right, that's almost the king. Like, that's almost, yeah, the ace in the hole.
Yeah.
Like when Witchy does her Country Roads bit.
Yeah.
Or her, what's it called?
The
Beatles
Mouth
song?
One? Oh.
When she sings the Smash Mouth lyrics to the Beatles song.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Let,
yeah,
It Be or something.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That one.
That was so funny.
So
the first
funny
time she ever did that, I lost my mind.
Same. So that's really funny. I feel like I'm not quite crafty enough for that level of bit mastery, but Witchy is.
Yeah,
so
Witchy can pull off a bit for,
yeah,
sure. The Country Roads one is also a favorite of mine.
Same.
But we like plotted that together.
Really funny.
I also think Amanda's other karaoke song is Goodbye Earl.
I love
which
Goodbye
is
Earl.
Also crazy. but Amanda's like a secret sleeper. She's like got a gorgeous singing voice and just hides it.
I think a lot of people have good singing voices and they just don't know it. Like, people think that you just either can or can't sing. And
right,
don't get me wrong, there is God-given talent out there in the world, but a lot of singing is just practicing your instrument and understanding your instrument,
mm-hmm,
in my opinion. Because I feel like I'm probably like a middle of the road, just like average, regular, degular singer. Like, but I try really hard, and I tried really hard for many years to get better. Mm-hmm. So, like, just singing confidently is like half the battle. Mm-hmm. That's my one piece of advice with karaoke to people who are like new, is that I'd rather people be loud and bad than like shy and like, oh, but I didn't like, I wasn't flat on the note. And it's like, but nobody heard you, dog.
Right.
Like,
right,
I'd rather you be like sending it and having fun, yeah, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
What makes a perfect karaoke song, would you say? Is it the bit? Is it a crowd pleaser? Is it a dynamic song that'll take you on a journey?
I think, like I said, there's a couple different ways to play the game, mm-hmm, you know? There's a couple different skill trees you can build,
sure,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think my perfect karaoke song that I'm always searching for is one that's a little bit unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear it, you're like, oh, but I enjoyed it. It was good. And it was like something that you'll remember because you're like, oh, like that girl sang Pearl Jam. Like, yeah, that was weird, you know? Mm-hmm. That girl sang Primus and everyone hated it.
Uh-huh.
That one's not a perfect karaoke song. But
Bridget,
I do love
and Zach do Primus, and it's so funny every time.
Yeah, I do Wynonna's Big Brown Beaver. And
yes, I do remember that.
It's so much fun for me.
For you, yeah.
My dad is a real trooper. When we'll be in a bar, just me and him, like, and I see that there's karaoke and I put in Wynonna's Big Brown Beaver, and my dad has to sit there at the bar and support his daughter singing Wynonna's Big Brown Beaver.
Uh-huh.
My dad's the goat for that.
I bet you he loves it.
He loves it, but I think he's kind of looking around like,
uh-oh.
Yeah, that's mine.
Uh-oh. I love dad.
The Rob Bob.
Forgive me if I'm wrong, but you also have not the thong song. What is it called? Crazy Town or
Butterfly
by Crazy Town.
Yeah, I need like Jordan or someone else for that one because there's two singers. It's like a Linkin Park situation. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, I remember the last karaoke point that I wanted to bring up is that you, I think it was you who said that you hated the, what is it, when they just stand there and they don't say anything except for that one word.
Tequila,
that's what it is.
I hate tequila.
You hate it, right?
Every man who does that song thinks they're the first man to ever do that song or that like we're the first, like it's a novel idea.
Yeah.
And it's so annoying.
Right.
It's irreverent of the sport, in my opinion.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's kind of like, oh, you guys are singing karaoke? Well, so I'll show you. This is stupid. I want to say tequila. It's dumb.
I've seen rooms where it goes over pretty well, and then I've seen rooms where it doesn't go over pretty well.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like maybe the first time someone ever did it, it was funny.
Yeah.
The first couple times anyone ever did it, it was probably funny.
Yeah.
But we're like 20 years on from that now. Yeah. I really like when you do Eminem karaoke.
Thanks.
When Danielle does Eminem karaoke, something awakens in her like a sleeper agent. A 15-year-old boy takes over Danielle's body.
That's like the true inner demon in me is a 15-year-old boy. I love round one. My whole For You page is just Gooner horny content.
It's not just Gooner horny content. It's weird man reels. It's reels that like it's boyfriend reels that like your boyfriend shows you, and only half of them are funny, but like he thinks they're hilarious.
Yeah, but you know what, I send them to Jono and Jono loves them.
Like I guarantee you, you have like within three you have a fail reel like on like just someone eating shit or like
probably. Yeah. You also say frequently that I text like a boyfriend who hates you.
Yeah, you do. imagine,
can you expand on that
for a moment, right? That your beloved best friend who you love is sick in hospital in Thailand, around the world, different time zone, and you're trying to calculate, do I need to get on a plane to Thailand? Is she alone in a hotel room? Is she going to be okay? Is she going to die in Thailand? And I'm trying to text Danielle. I'm like, so how's it going? She's like, in hospital again. And I'm like, all right. So like what are we talking? Like ICU? Are we talking like triage? Like where are we at? And she's like, I don't know. They're doing tests. And I'm like, okay. All right. Well, keep me updated. Keep me updated. All right. Love you.
I'm sorry. It's just in my DNA. I was thinking about it the other day, too, because I think it's when I'm really tired. I'm just like, yes. Okay.
I started texting Kelly instead. I was like, hey, girl, I need you to give me some information here.
Yay. That's me. I mean, in conclusion, a toxic 15-year-old boy that loves Eminem and video games. That's who I am in my core, I fear.
I was going to say, when we were talking about shiny, I've always said if I was going to assign you a shiny member who you are most like, it's Minho.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're, like, weird athletic, too. And you're, like, competitive. And you have charisma.
The fiery charisma?
Flaming charisma. Yeah.
I almost got it. The flaming charisma?
The flaming charisma. Danielle Di Nicola.
Wait, what if we all choose which K-pop title matches us the best, and then we refer to each other as that forever?
I would love to do that. Yeah.
Great.
That would be really good.
Okay. I love flaming charisma. Yeah. For me, I feel like I need a superhero suit with that, with a cape.
Yeah. The flaming charisma.
What would yours be? Or do you think that it has to be assigned to you?
I think it probably has to be assigned to me, but most of the time when there's been groups that we've been like, which shiny member would you be? I always get Key.
Okay. Is that from shiny as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Key is super, so he like loves Lady Gaga, which I also love Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm. That was one of my first obsessions back in the day in high school. He named his fans, like before people were naming fans, I think because he saw Lady Gaga do it, like she had little monsters, so he named his fans little freaks. So we're his little freaks.
I love that.
I know.
So
I love
much.
It too.
Bridget was on the podcast talking about Pokemon and what each favorite, if you were to choose a favorite Pokemon game, what it says about you. Mm-hmm. And she was like, if you choose, I want to say it was X and Y or something like that, then you're a little freak. And I took that vocal stim from that episode and carried it with me now. It's like a part of my everyday vocabulary.
I love that.
I love it so much. Yeah, I do love an Eminem song. I think that's because I'm terrified of actually singing because I know that the stage fright will crush me, crush any chance I have at success. Mm-hmm. And that is muscle memory that will never leave me. It's Eminem's without me.
True.
Or the real Slim Shady.
If you sing often enough karaoke, it gets better because that used to be my problem too, is I couldn't get any projection because my chest was like gripped with anxiety. So you don't have any diaphragm control when you're anxious.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I did it, the more I was like, fine. Like it's fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Once you bomb a couple times, you just gotta brush
yourself
off.
Not that big of a deal anymore. What's the worst that could happen? You already know.
I already did. Yeah.
Good. Good, good. I'm looking forward to our next karaoke night. I feel like the last time, were you here that last time that they snuck buzz balls in.
Yes.
To the karaoke room. And everyone got absolutely shit-faced. Mm-hmm. We went to a karaoke room in LA. And it was the – we went to whichever one was going to be open the latest. And we didn't realize that they didn't serve alcohol, which was devastating. So Amanda, our resident thief our resident rogue, I should say. Mm-hmm. And Courtney
and Dan.
And Dan went to like the corner store and like got a ton of buzz balls.
They got 7-Eleven slushies and poured the buzz balls in the slushies.
Right. And then brought them back to the karaoke room. And everyone
we got absolutely fucked.
Absolutely fucked.
Yeah.
That was crazy. One and only time that I've consumed buzz balls like that.
I've had a couple run-ins with buzz balls. I'm not going to lie.
That was my first.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've learned my lesson after that.
They're rough because they're like malt liquor because it's like the stuff they put in Four Loko, but without the caffeine. Like,
right.
Yeah. When I was at Katsucon, this is random, I saw a buzz ball Miku. There was a Miku who had like she was buzz ball themed. It was so
Really cute.
I know.
I recently collected – Miku makes me think of Round 1 because they always have Miku plushies. I recently went on a scavenger hunt through my room to try to find all of my Round 1 cards. And it's a little concerning
how many
Round 1 cards. I think I found 10 of them.
Okay. That's not that bad.
When you hold up 10 round one cards in your hand.
Like the money spread.
Yeah. Including like the club card and like the themed ones that I've gotten.
I bought the themed one and then I immediately lost it.
Right. I took them all to round one recently the other day and I was like, I'm sure that only like one of these has credits on it. Nope. Like five of them had 200 credits. I was what? Am I doing and do I have a problem?
You're having fun and yeah, you have a problem.
Speaking of me having problems, why do you hate escape rooms so much?
It feels like a standardized test.
Ah.
Like, you know how when you took the FCAT, like
that's a Florida
you had to
exam,
leave your backpack.
Yeah.
And like no calculator, like no anything.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
That's fair.
Feels like
I get
being
that.
Evaluated.
Yeah. I have a escape room hyperfixation. I think it's an ADHD thing where I'm like, I don't have to think about anything else other than this one problem. Let's do it. And it's like fun every time because I want to beat my last score. But every time we're out at conventions, we're usually at conventions together. And I'm like, guys, what if we find an escape room? And Morgan's like, I would rather die and kill myself and jump off this roof. And then you're like, we should go to a dive bar. And I'm like, ah.
I was gonna say, it's an even trade-off. Like, we have to do some escape room and some dive bar so that everybody's happy.
Right. A give and take.
Yeah, I feel like it's the opposite for me. I feel like it's like I'm forced to focus on this one thing. What if I don't like the thing? What if I don't want to focus on it?
Yeah.
Then I'm stuck. But I will say I do have fun once I'm there. It's like the thing about like if you scheduled like a pottery class for yourself, like, oh, this is so much fun. I'll pick up a hobby. But then you're like, oh, I don't want to leave my house. I don't want to go to pottery class. But then when you're at pottery class, you're like, woohoo, I'm pottering or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay.
Bridget and I did an escape room called the Minotaur recently.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of the Minotaur.
We got chased around. We also drank beforehand, as you do.
Bridget drank?
Oh, no, not Bridget.
Okay.
Not Bridget drove. Bridget drove the squad.
All right.
I drank. And I saw something like the wall there's like a gimmick where the wall was crumbling and a tile fell out of the wall and I was like, oh, let me pick it up, it's probably a clue, but I didn't realize that the wall itself was supposed to be crumbling. So when I reached down to grab the tile, every subsequent tile that got bigger and bigger from the wall started falling onto my head one by one. And then I had like a line on my head, like a a line-shaped bump from where the tiles were hitting me one by one. Literally, it was like an Acme cartoon. And I was too drunk to know what was happening. Like, I could have just, like, moved to the side, and I didn't. I just kept getting hit over and over and over again. Bigger and worse. And Bridget just watched it all happen, like, horrified, being like, "Are you okay?" And then the guy gave me an ice pack.
Oh, that's so funny. That's not even the worst injury you've had in an escape room, though.
No.
There's been more.
There has been more. I think Amanda's was the worst.
Yeah, Amanda's was bad.
Anyway, where did we start from for that? Karaoke?
I think so.
Yeah. The one time I was at round one and Ryan was doing karaoke. And he sang Kendrick Lamar.
Wow.
In the coolest way I've ever seen in my life.
That's sick.
It was sick.
Which Kendrick song?
Humble.
Oh. All right. Yeah.
It was incredible. I was like, wow. I didn't realize you had swag like that, mm-hmm. Ryan. Big ups.
That's also what I love Respect. About karaoke is you find like people's... like deep cut musical interest. Not that Kendrick is really a deep cut at this point, but you know, it's just like interesting to see what everybody's gonna pull out.
Yeah,
karaoke, you know. Mm-hmm.
It's true. Do you think that people's karaoke songs say something about them?
Oh, definitely.
What would you say that everyone in your inner circle's karaoke song says about them? Or some that you've heard. Tequila. Well,
okay, well, Tequila's... anyway. Tequila says that you're, like, a true intellectual party pooper. Like, that you're like, I'm too cool for this, but you're really hiding that you're not cool at all. Uh-huh. That's how I feel about that. I would say, like, emo songs are, like, you just really want to have fun. Mm-hmm. Like, those people are just, like... fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then like musicals is like you're gay and you were in theater in high school.
Uh-huh.
And I do musicals because I was gay. I'm gay and I was in theater. Let's see. But people who do like musical songs, it's also like you have to get it just right. Otherwise, it's kind of like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Classic rock, I think it says you're a really cool person, mm-hmm. and you're really neat, and everyone likes you. That's what I think
right,
it says.
Right, not at all biased.
Not
about
at all
one.
Biased. Like the rap songs specifically. There's a specific type of like woman who is at a bachelorette party who sings "Super Bass" by Nicki Minaj. Like, that's, I know exactly what kind of person I'm dealing with yep. when they sing Super Bass. Usually they'll have more than one person, too, and yes. they don't know all the lyrics.
Yes.
None of them.
Yep.
And then, then there's, like, the memers.
Mm-hmm.
There's the country singers.
Mm-hmm.
I dabble myself from mm-hmm. time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
People watching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about Goodbye Earl?
Oh,
what
Goodbye
does that
Earl.
Say about Amanda?
That she's from Memphis.
That is so yeah. true. That's so true. What about Primus?
Oh, Primus? I don't know. I don't know many people who like Primus under the age of 40 besides me and Bridget.
Right.
But I feel like singing Primus... most people like hate it and don't know what it is, but then like three dudes at the bar, you get major props with
yeah.
those three dudes.
Uh-huh.
They're like, wow, ball knower.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Eminem.
Eminem? Yeah, it says you're like a 15-year-old boy.
Or a white girl.
Yeah, or a white girl.
20s. and what do you think that each maining each lane says about somebody in League of Legends?
Oh, if you only can play bot, you're bad at the game.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
People who are bad at the game, they want to be bought because you have a partner and then it's not all on you.
Mm.
People who jungle really want to be good at the game. Like they think they're good at the game, whether they are or not.
Right.
People who are solo top are, in most cases, suffer in silence, like, types.
Uh-huh.
And they, like, really think that they're doing something for the team up there, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes they are. Sometimes they're throwing the entire game.
Right.
And then mid is, like, you're just a little better than the people in bot.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What, is there a distinction between AD carry and support, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually really, really hard to be good at ADC, but people think that it's a role that you can kind of bullshit,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of the ADCs are easier champions to play, like, skill level-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're an ADC and you're not doing the things you're supposed to do, it'll snowball at the end of the game, and you guys are screwed.
Right.
And then support, also, like, they're playmakers. They make or break the game. So if you're not on your shit, you're also going to tank, like, the entire game.
Right.
So I'm not good at any of these roles. And I haven't been on the Rift in maybe years. No, I used to play Urf. Urf was fun.
Yeah.
Like, I won't play regular Rift anymore. I'll only play when they have one of those silly game modes that's, like, not that serious.
Because
I just feel bad ruining someone's 40 minutes. Like, because I'm not good at the game.
Right. Well, I was a support main, so I'll take that.
Yeah, I was a one-trick Sona.
I appreciate that.
You played Thresh, right?
I was a Zyra, in order, Zyra, Morgana, Thresh. Mm-hmm. Those were my top three.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could kind of fuck around with everybody else on the same, in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But those were like my specialties, mm-hmm. I'd say. It's very aggro too, which is kind
Morgana.
Of how I love to do things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard as a support to not get an AD carry that does the right thing.
Yeah, well, if your ADC isn't doing it, if they're not AD carrying, then you are also screwed, because like, you can't do your job either.
Right. Well, thank you for joining me for another fantastic episode.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you being here on the day that you flew in after we fell asleep on mattresses on the floor in my living room for 2 hours before this.
I appreciate you picking me up from the airport. A true act of love.
You're welcome. It may or may not have been because I wanted you to do this today.
Perfect.
Please let everybody know where to find you on the internet and also what projects or conventions you have coming up.
Oh, okay. I'm Morgan LaFoy. You can find me at Morgan LaFoy pretty much everywhere. I'm mostly on Instagram and TikTok and Patreon. I create a new cosplay set and boudoir and lingerie sets every single month. If you want to support me, you can support me on Patreon. It's the best place to be. And let's see, what am I doing this summer, this year? I think my next convention is Anime Expo.
Oh, wow.
Or I don't remember. I think it's Anime Expo. I don't really know what I'm cosplaying for that yet. It'd be cool if I got a job. I like being employed. Employment is fun. Employers, if you're watching this.
Anyone?
Please employ me. But yeah, I'm just kind of floating around. I'm mostly focusing on my like studio projects for Patreon.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again. And thank you guys for watching. So as a hairdresser, have you ever caught yourself watching movies or TV and seeing horrific wig hairlines?
All the time.